Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 4th of 2023.
Just the 4th of 2023?
Joined by Carl.
Hello.
And Dan.
Hello, guys.
People who know the date. And
I don't actually. Let me check. It's Wednesday, the 4th of October.
There we are. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about chirping, journalist karma, and RFK going third party.
Yeah, the Dilbert curse, man.
Yeah.
It's dark, I tell you. Anyway.
Has this happened more than once?
We'll find out.
Okay.
Well, don't forget the announcement.
I was about to say, we have some announcements
to
begin. So, first and foremost, which is tomorrow at 3 p.m. UK time, there's another lads hour. This is the question of who would you spend 48 hours with? Sorry, as. Not with.
Yeah.
I suppose you're also spending it with them.
You've never seen the film Being John Malkovich, have you?
Of course.
Yeah, but you haven't seen it. So, basically, the premise of that. Don't worry. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
I found that old, really boring.
Yeah, it was really boring. But the point is, you know, if you go in someone else's body, who are you going to be?
Yeah.
And why, you know?
Yeah. Alrighty, so come and join us for that. Otherwise, you have an announcement to...
Yes. So, important announcement. And there is also cheese in the lads hour.
I thought that was for the gold tip.
No. I'm recapping on the lads hour.
Sorry.
Yeah, so basically, a farmer sent us a shit ton of cheese. So we're going to get the guys to eat it on air because otherwise, it's, you know, just going to have loads of cheese. So that'd be good. And also, we've got a graphic this. It's my birthday on Friday. So I am inviting all the gold tier subscribers to send in a video telling us your favorite thing about me, whatever that is, favorite videos, favorite haircuts, favorite jackets, favorite shirts, whatever it is, favorite witticisms. So send in those videos at the weekend and I'll get them when I come in next week and we'll appreciate them with you.
Right. So I can feel that people are going to ask, are criticisms allowed?
Why would they do that? I mean, you can. If you can think of one.
If conceivably there was such a thing.
I mean, I suppose. I mean, yeah, why not?
I do got to say though, John, is that the Photoshop beta to put the crown there? You know, the AI thing or not? It is.
I don't remember wearing it.
Nice, and the scar. Well,
AI.
I wondered if
AI's getting good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you used the Photoshop layer or not? Yeah, no. I think.
Well, I'll just get John to do it.
Okay, well, never mind. I was going to show you after, but...
Right.
It's pretty incredible, though, I have to say.
Anyway.
Right.
Speaking of tomorrow, we'll come back to that. Don't mention today. We shall begin.
Yes.
With more news, which totally isn't news. The chirp meme. I feel a need to bring this to a mass audience, because it already has been. I'm not the first person to do this. I even saw Jack Poso sitting down with Charlie Kirk being like, so have you heard this meme? And
beep.
Yeah, both of them kind of sat there afterwards and were like, can't say anything. So I think we're going to have a similar...
What I find really interesting is just how just ubiquitous it is. Like, it's actually kind of everywhere. So someone sent me a bunch of... Someone sent me a bunch of links in a thread of rap songs where if you listen to it, you can hear the chirp.
Seriously?
On the record. And it's just like, okay, you know, and I went through and I literally, and they were like, you know, timestamp, and I was like, oh my God, you can hear it, you know? And it was just like, this is forever now. Chirping, you know, in 10,000 years when we dig up the ruins of our civilization, we put this record on, and there's a chirp in the background.
So like, in 10,000 years, there's going to be a museum and there's going to be a chirp section.
The Museum of Chirps, yeah. It's just, it's wild. But yeah. Actually, and these are best-selling records. The YouTube videos have got millions of views, like hundreds of millions of views. And it's just like, okay, where are the producers? And then...
So for people who don't know what we're talking about, I'll get it in a minute.
Do this sensitively, Callum.
We'll start off just with promoting something on the website, this being the Brokenomics, the most recent one. This being on the Canadian Truckers, which I chose tactically because a few others really made me look bad when I chose those as promos. So I'm going to leave this one here.
Just a quick thing. John, can you do us a favor and log out?
He's going to log out?
Yeah.
All right. Something special.
Because
look at that.
We've got a new feature on the website that we haven't really told anyone about, which is if you're not subscribed, but you still want to watch a particular piece of content, you can click the buy full video and pay £1.89, which is probably about $2.20, for that piece of content in perpetuity. So you've always got it. So you can, you know, because I'm the sort of person who I don't generally subscribe to things, but I would spend like a tenner on the website or something. And so that's an option if you're that kind of guy. In fact, we have a graphic there.
Yes.
Is that a graphic?
I knocked this up 5 minutes before we came on air. Let me know if you... Do you not get this?
Well, it's Duck Hunt, whatever, from the Nintendo, right?
Yes, good, isn't it?
Well, it's definitely something.
Well, yeah. I thought it was quite good.
There we go. That was appreciated. That's move on.
But anyway.
If you appreciated this meme of the Dan.
We'll move on to the news,
yeah.
Which is Know Your Meme, obviously being a wonderful website. You can go and check out the history of the smoke detector beeping meme, which...
How is that a meme?
I know, right? And they go through the history here, and it turns out that the smoke detector beeping meme originates from like 2013. Oh, sorry, here we go. 2009, really? In fact, in which there was this show, and these guys kept getting calls and kept noticing that a lot of people kept calling them and having chirps of the smoke detector in the background. Now, the chirp, people who don't know, is because your smoke detector's battery is running low or about to run out, and so it makes a noise to tell you to change the battery. And for some reason, a certain group of people, particularly and seemingly almost uniquely in American society...
Well, it does say region United States.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is the Americans who...
Yeah.
Well, certain Americans who don't change their smoke alarms and have never changed them and have got to the point of ignorance where they don't even know why it chirps and don't even notice it chirps. So these two chaps here who were running their show kept getting callers. They didn't know what kind of callers. They just got callers.
And they're just like, why don't you change your smoke alarm? They're like, what are you talking about?
So they made, you know, jokes about it. And then some people, you know, started writing blog posts about the sounds of urban poverty, about how okay. The urban poor of America of all kinds all had this problem, they believed. And then the internet age began, in which people were able to...
You can't blame this on poverty, because presumably the batteries in these things cost less than $950, so you could just steal them.
That's only if you live in California.
Well, this is the thing, because then obviously the internet age began, and in 2020, people started noticing that it's a bit more specific than just poor Americans.
Right.
And, well, this chap here, who was a black chap, decided to write, black people, so y'all really don't hear the smoke alarm beeping in your house. And then people started noticing this a lot more.
Yeah.
And then in 2022, TikTok, it even more blew up. And now it's everywhere, which people have made a notice that in black American households, there's a high proportionality of chirps.
Yes.
What I love about this is that in no other way could humanity have ever found this out, seemingly. Because how many years have these things been chirping?
How would you know?
And only in 2022 did American society make this, well, discovery?
Yeah, it is genuinely a discovery, yeah.
It's the proliferation of social media and sharing content, isn't it? Because you don't really get an insight into people's homes otherwise.
And it's a kind of pattern noticing when aggregated.
Yes. And I've got some sympathy here. So when I first moved down from London to Winchester, I did look at a house that was by the motorway, and it was bloody massive. So I quite... No, it didn't have that, but it had the constant motorway noise.
Right,
yeah. And it's like, but the people who lived there, they assured me after 2 weeks you won't hear the motorway anymore.
And that's probably true.
Yeah. So I didn't buy the house in the end, but I get the concept of, you know,
something
it goes away.
Immune.
Yeah.
Sound. So there's a lot.
How many years do you, like, is it your whole life you grow up with the chirping of the ceiling bird, and then you move out and the ceiling bird doesn't chirp, but one day it starts chirping, you're like, oh, that's better. Like, it wasn't chirping until now.
Are you suggesting that this is like people have been on welfare for three generations? It's like the smoke alarm has been beeping for three generations and they just don't hear it anymore.
Maybe it's just a normal part of everyday life.
So this is one of the tweets that's most quoted with the discovery of the fact that it was weird that all of a sudden everyone discovered that a certain percentage of American households have chirps and nobody knew until TikTok and Instagram. So that was a discovery that we can actually give to TikTok, I think. And the TikTok community have an awful lot of jokes about this, in which they enjoy it. I suppose I'll play this. White people in their house. Black people in their house.
I don't know why, but I am offended.
First off, that's hella ignorant and stereotypical.
And this is what pisses me off about people. How are you going to stereotype a whole entire race?
To be fair, good on them for being in on the joke. You know what I mean? That was good.
Yes.
Well, this is the thing. I think the joke is well received. Yeah. This isn't something that's unusual or unknown once it's noticed. It's just you got to notice it first.
You got to wonder how many people genuinely were offended. And then heard it.
How dare they?
Well, here's the thing about all racial jokes or ethnic jokes. I don't think anyone except the elites are ever actually, quote unquote, offended by these. I think we all enjoy the unique weirdness that we have. I mean, There are jokes about white Americans as well as a group. There are jokes about the...
Well, did you see the one the other day of a bunch of black people in the woods being excessively polite to each other on hike?
Yeah.
It's a long-running joke.
God, that must be awful.
Yeah, how terrible that is. But like,
everybody's courteous to each other.
Yeah, I know.
But you know the like long-running comedic stand-up joke as well? It's like, white people be like, black people be like. And it's always white people just following the law. It's like, okay, that's comedy from black comedians. Anyway, so there's more of this. I mean, this guy here, who was just doing his normal TikToks, also happened to have chirps in the back of his videos. And he didn't notice until people were like, that's a thing.
How may I help you? How may I help you?
Oh, yes, I'm home.
Right, start there.
Yeah.
So that's a thing you can also find wide. This guy was really funny, where this chap here, he's always quite based.
Kevin Samuel?
Yeah. And he's explaining to this woman that it's happening and she doesn't know. And he pins it on single mothers. But
first of all, you're definitely a single woman because you got the single woman tell. That damn smoke detector.
Mm-hmm.
How do you live with that?
The way that I've been living with just being a single woman is...
No. Specifically, the smoke detector that keeps chirping. How do you live with that?
Can you just elaborate more on like the what do you mean by the smoke
detector? It keeps going beep.
Like red flags? You're
that smoke detector that's beeping in the background. There's a smoke detector. It beeps every 30 seconds and it goes beep.
Oh, this is so...
I don't
for those
hear
listening,
anything
a look
beeping.
Of genuine
did you just
confusion.
Hear it again? Because I don't hear anything.
Wait for it. Told you guys, they don't hear it after a while.
Genuinely, people become immune.
But what I love about this is he's literally perceiving a layer of reality that is denied to her. Like, she's like, what are you talking about? The ceiling bird chirping. What are you on about? And he's just like, what? How can you live like this? And it's literally outside of her range of perception. It's like...
Yeah, but that's like every conversation with a leftist, though.
But it's like a dog literally hearing a dog whistle and you'd be like, what's going on, boy? Yeah. You know, you can't hear why he's screaming and howling. You're just like, what the hell's wrong? You know, she's literally in that position. That's wild, isn't it?
You know when you're like 5 and you break something and you just try and live around it being broken instead of fixing it because you're not a proper adult yet? Yeah. Like, that's how I see this. Where it's just like, it's broken and then it becomes part of your daily life.
Yeah.
You move around the trash instead of, you know, removing the trash. You ever done that when you're 5 or whatever? I don't know, like clog the toilet and then you just wait until dad fixes it.
Yeah, it's just, it's just the inference from that is, I won't say it.
Okay, whatever. But people started adding it to videos, so there's like black nationalists. People were just jokingly adding it to such videos. There's a problem with that though, which is, here's DaBaby. An American black rapper showing off what he cooks for breakfast. And this is sincerely a video of his.
We're going to stick to him. A lot of niggas don't know I can get down like this in the kitchen, man. When I'm like that, man, niggas can't beat me at nothing. You dig what I'm saying? I'm the best all categories. No disrespect to my nigga DJ Khaled. I'm like that too, nigga. Let's get to it. Home fried breakfast potatoes.
Yeah. Nigga. So that's seems to be a cross social strata as well.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's what I mean. It's in all the rap records.
It certainly is.
Unironically, multimillionaires with chirping smoke detectors.
So I'm going to paraphrase a study that I read a while ago on crime rates across income stratas and basically found it was the same. It's like that, but the chirping rate is the same across income stratas.
Also political strata. I mean, no matter how elite and rich, I mean, the following example. Joy Reid.
Oh, yeah.
Someone we enjoy.
Oh,
yeah. She did some stupid rant about DeSantis.
Florida on the tiny end. I would say probably the most functionally racist governor in America, Ron DeSantis. Turns out he's super anti-immigration, super anti-woke, but his great-great-grandmother, Luigi Colucci, came to the United States not on the Nina, the Maria, or the Santa Maria, as he might have you believe, given his complete devotion to the founders.
What's funny is you also stop listening to anything anyone says in their videos and just listen for the chirp.
Yeah.
That happens. And this was a while back. This is Sobiak pointing out, being like, anyone else notice? Do you want to know what she makes a year?
Oh, it's got to be millions.
1.5 mil.
There we go.
Right.
I mean, how much is a smoke detector factory? I don't know.
Well, it can't be much. And I take it you didn't see the Clarence Thomas meme of this.
What, where he's like just what, changed?
Clarence Thomas doesn't have a...
No. It's the meme of Clarence Thomas looking really serious.
He'll have a fixed smoke detector.
It's just a picture of him looking really serious and then just ... I would change the battery. And it's just like, glad he's on the Supreme Court. Anyway. Yeah.
So anyway, I really just wanted to bring this to people's attention and just be like, huh. Because once you notice it as well, you can't unnotice it. And I've been increasingly noticing it. I think the first time I did is when Posobiec brought it up about Joy Reid. I was just like, huh, that's weird.
Just a quick thing. I assume this has been declared a form of racism, right?
No.
Noticing black people have chirping skybirds in their room must be a form of racism.
Well, isn't all racism pattern recognition? So it's going to be added to the list.
Exactly. It's got to be on there. And so eventually people pointing out the chirp will be deplatformed from like YouTube and Twitter and where it was.
Maybe. I mean, we're not there yet. And I think probably it might not be because, I mean, as I pointed out, like so much of TikTok has actually just taken on the joke and been like, huh, yeah.
Okay.
What are you going to do? I'm not changing the batteries. That's not what I'm going to do.
I guess if you can live like that.
I'd rather be the butt of the joke than change that battery.
I'd rather a million people laughed at me on TikTok than change a single battery.
To be fair, though, I mean, I'm quite cheap. And I don't know if anyone else...
cheap too, but come on.
No, but I don't know if anyone else... There actually is a couple of beeping I mentioned to my friend the other... When I go to sleep in my apartment, which is not a rich place, I did notice there's some cheaping...
Oh, really?
...chirping now. Some skybirds have turned up. So
I think you better fix that.
I can't reach them. There are different buildings with the windows open. So what am I going to do? Like, Spider-Man my way in?
Put up a sign?
Yeah.
The ceiling bird is chirping. That means change the battery.
But would I rather have a ceiling bird or lose $7? So, you know, that's...
I mean...
battery. Anyway, but there's a lot of fun has come out of this, if nothing else. I mean, anti-racist when that damn smoke alarm chirp is even in rich black people's videos. I mean, that's pretty good Peter Griffin meme there. But also you see, like, very popular.
Yeah.
Like, not even slightly unpopular. For God's sakes, another day on Twitter.
Every day.
Anyway. Yeah. But there's some good memes that came out of this. This is a new Jordan Peele movie that's been pitched. I would enjoy. Anyway, there's also AI memes. This is a subject we're going to come back to tomorrow, I think, or the day after.
Because, how could we describe this to people listening?
So
Jesus Christ teaches a young urban man how to change the batteries in his smoke detector.
Urban man.
Yes.
All right. The thing is, there's a lot of these AI images, which we'll come back to, and they are good gold. But I love how this is sort of manifest destiny here. Like, you know, the old British propaganda about how we had to go and help the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't have the one of Donald Trump introducing smoke detectors to Africa.
I haven't seen that one. Not the only AI image, though.
It wasn't Donald Trump. Sorry, it was the white man. I thought it was Donald Trump. But yeah, there we go.
I believe the one on the left was titled, It's Not the Devil, It's Just the Battery. So there's these.
For those of you listening, this is a colonial gentleman who has landed on the shores of a faraway land and is teaching some urban chaps to change the battery.
He's urban, is he?
Yes. That's the euphemism we're using.
Radio. Anyway, not the only ones. One more here. Just someone mentioning the AI memes are getting quite good. And we'll return to that at a later point. Because the last thing I want to speak of is YouTube comments. So this is a real YouTube short of someone just showing off their old Game Boy. An urban chap. Someone saying, hey, bro, change the battery in the smoke alarm, homie. And the post just like, what? At the beginning of the video, the smoke alarm beep went off. It means change the battery. That noise wasn't the smoke alarm in the hallway. It was the hallway that always makes that sound. The hallway just chirps. The skybird lives in the walls, presumably. There we are.
But there must be a point, because like, I've got a five-year-old, and she come to me at some point and say, Daddy, how does the fridge get cold?
Yep.
It's stuff like that.
And you're like, I've no idea.
I presume if the hallway chirped, at some point the question would come up. Daddy, why does the hallway chirp?
You would say, what chirping? Well, so then what?
It's just the hallway always makes that sound, darling.
Yes. And then presumably by the time she's like nine, it's just she doesn't hear it either.
Yeah.
So, but there's a guy who had a comment on this, which is just the best, which is, I legitimately want a study conducted on this phenomenon. And quite frankly, I do too. I remember years ago, I had one that chirped at 2 a.m. I had no batteries for it. I went out, drove an hour to a 24-hour Walmart and got some. Had this not been an option, I would have removed the smoke detector and thrown it into the fireplace and then replaced it in the morning. I don't know how anyone lives like this. And someone's saying here, I think the chirping in the hallway is soothing.
You know, I was going to get to that because, like, once it's just part of the background radiation of your life, if it's not there, then perhaps you feel like there's something wrong with the world. But the ceiling bird isn't telling me that everything's fine.
If there's no motorway noise.
It's like womb heartbeat noises. Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
it's like home. It's like people saying thank you to the bus conductor, right? You know, stuff like that. It's like the normal small rhythms of everyday life. That you don't, I mean, you know, is it somehow colonial if we take that away from them?
I mean, I'm sorry, but does this become part of the African-American canon of what it means to be black? Like, are we going to get black Hebrew Israelites being like, that's right, we have chirping birds.
Maybe they'll bring one with them.
Okay. to all future meetings. Okay.
So I'm laughing at something I completely disavow in the chat, because while I was making my comments about, you know, my daughter comes to me and asks about stuff like this, somebody in the chat wrote, dad in the house, ?
Sorry, say it again.
What? Dad in the house, ?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the weird thing we seem to have discovered. I mean, even Joy Reid or anyone else who's you know, nothing unusual, just a different ethnic group in the United States is frankly how the United States worked, but no one wants to admit it, have a different culture. And one of these aspects has been the chirping ceiling bird for literally decades. And only in 2022 was it discovered thanks to TikTok.
The hallway just does that, man. It's just the noise hallways make.
But what a hell of an event. What a hell of a thing to learn about sociology. And what a way to learn it. There we are.
Some of the memes on this are just so good. Did you see the Neil deGrasse Tyson one?
Oh, sorry, does he also have a video?
No, but it's you know, a picture of him on Joe Rogan. He's like, look, I don't need to know why it chirps. I can just measure how often it does it. I can empirically determine when it will next chirp. Why? I don't care why it chirps. And it's so good. And it's like, oh my God. It is going to be declared racism so quickly. So cool.
Let's remember to remove this video when that happens so we don't get a channel yeeted.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when YouTube retroactively decides, talking about the chirping ceiling bird is a form of oppression. Okay, so let's talk about the Dilbert curse. You guys are aware of Dilbert, aren't you? Scott Adams got in a bit of trouble recently.
Yeah, actually, I've got Scott Adams on next week's Brokenomics.
Brilliant.
He's a mug guy, right?
Yeah, the mug guy who got cancelled for making
coffee?
Yeah, making a point.
He got cancelled a good few times, actually, but one of them.
The most recent one. Cancellation.
Yeah.
Because he made some points about crime and demographics, and these didn't go down well. And this is something that, unfortunately, and I really mean this, because this is actually a really tragic thing to have happen. The prediction that he made about Democrat cities and the people living in them is coming true. And it's not good. So before we go on, I predicted all of this in my deep think, Rousseau Savage. John, if you can log out just so people can see the new button, because I'm very proud of this new button. I think this is great. So you can subscribe for £5 a month and listen to this if you're a silver tier subscriber and get the audio, or you can read it. And if you don't want to subscribe, you can buy the full thing. And I trust me, this is worth it, because what I'm doing there, can we go back to that? Yeah, it's £1.89. But what I'm doing in this is explaining in detail why the Democrat areas of America are trapped in the Rousseauian paradigm of liberalism. As in, this is full scale, nonstop. We are all unique individual savages who live in the urban jungle liberalism. And this is why this is going to continue. So let's go on to Scott Adams' prophecy. In 2020, as you can see, he says, if Biden is elected, there's a good chance you'll be dead within the year. And then he owns these. Republicans will be hunted. Well, that's kind of happened, actually, isn't it? I mean, look at what's happening to Donald Trump. But okay, so it's not within the year. It was within 2 years. Maybe 3 years, we'll call it. Okay, fair enough. To that, there's a chap called Josh Kruger. As you can see from his bio, award-winning/losing writer. He, him.
Gay flag. That is an interesting bio.
HIV plus.
That means he's got HIV, right?
I assume so.
Okay.
Right. Loves his cat and his bike. And he writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Philadelphia Citizen, and LGBTQ Nation, and other fine publications. I don't know why he didn't list the fine publications in his bio, but there we go.
So he doesn't mention it in his bio, but I think it's safe to assume that he is a Biden voter.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can. I'm going to give you some quotes
in
a minute, in fact. But yeah, so this is the kind of chap who probably doesn't like Donald Trump. And you can imagine what his response to Scott Adams was. The Dilbert dude is like Nostradamus. Look at this prediction from 2020. Wow, eerie. As you can see, Scott Adams' response under that.
Oh, wait, that's September 30th. That's only...
He posted that the other day. Yeah.
Right.
And the day after this, he was shot to death.
Wow.
As the post-millennial tell us, Josh Kruger, leftist activist and journalist, which is a fair characterization of him, was shot and killed inside his home on Monday. He had a long history of downplaying violent crime in the city, often openly mocking those who expressed concerns about homicides in Philadelphia. Here are some quotes. "Look, it's that lawless land of liberals in Philly where shootings are dropping to levels not seen in years. Some idiot just said that you're more likely to get shot and killed than die of COVID in Philly. To make some insensitive rhetorical point for his side, folks, four times as many Philadelphians have died of COVID than gunshots this year." I mean, to be honest with you, that's hardly an endorsement of anything, is it? You know, if 400 people die of COVID, well, that means just that only 100 people were shot to death.
Well, and I doubt that number anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But he goes, "I understand math is hard to understand." And so, yeah, it's...
But that's remarkable. That's within 48 hours of him mocking Scott.
Yeah.
He is brutally murdered inside his home.
Yeah.
By the exact phenomena which he was mocking.
Yes. He was recognized by the LGBTQ plus advisory committee as a comrade who never stopped advocating for queer Philadelphians living on the margins of society. He was described as the Philadelphia district attorney as an openly queer writer who wrote about his own journey surviving substance abuse disorder and homelessness. Not great, right? So let's go to the ABC reporting. And they say he was shot 7 times inside his own home at 1:30 a.m. He died in the hospital 45 minutes later. There's no word on a motive for his shooting and no arrests have been made.
There's probably no good reason either. Probably just look at that guy. Don't like the look of him.
Who knows?
Why not?
Who knows?
In his own home?
Could have been a gang initiation.
Well, they say there are no signs of forced entry, so it could have been like a boyfriend or somebody picked up at a club or something like that. Who knows, right? Who knows? But the point is, crime in Philadelphia, not my problem. The next one is a chap called Ryan Carson. I'm not going to play the video. There is a video of this, and it's awful. Absolutely awful. He sat on a bench at like 3:30 in the morning, sitting there with his girlfriend. And they're just, you know, they've obviously been out. And an urban man walks past, and nothing happens. They get up, they go to leave. Then the urban man notices them, starts flipping out, pulls out a knife, and then goes to stab him. He puts himself heroically between his girlfriend and the man and gets just stabbed to death in literally a couple of seconds. He's just laying there and the guy runs off. It's just like, okay.
So this whole phenomena is, whatever it was, like five, six years ago, I was living in London, had a small child and just thought, no, I am not living in London with a small child. Right. And that was London, let alone these places.
Yeah. Ryan Carson worked as the Senior Solid Waste Campaign Director at the nonprofit New York Public Interest Research Group. He led several left-wing advocacy movements, basically. He was described as one of the rising stars in our organization. Wonderful person, hardworking, boisterous laugh. Everyone loved him. I'm sure they did. I'm absolutely sure they did. He did like this charity walk to help raise money and things like this. But of course, longtime left-wing activist and gets killed by the sort of demographic that he's currently advocating against police action for. So, okay. I mean, this continues. This is not the only ones. Remember the Democrat woman, Shivathi Sandra, I can't pronounce her name, but you'll probably recognize the picture of her. I can't scroll down, never mind. You'll probably recognize the picture of her if there is one in here. Surprised there's no picture of her because she was very noticeable. Okay, never mind. But the point is she got attacked because she was a defund the police advocate. She gets attacked and then she's like, oh, wait, actually, we need the police to protect us from the violent criminals that actually we've been busy trying to get out of jail. Because it turns out that it wasn't all right-wing racist propaganda, but actually there's a problem with violence in some communities and perhaps they should be punished for the crimes they commit. This is really, really happening. I mean, the worst example of this, I think, is this, right? Where this, I think there's a, scroll down, there's a picture. Yeah, there we go, right? That guy there was shot in the head by a career criminal when he was on his way to his high school reunion. That's Christopher Wright. He was 38, prominent businessman, beloved dad, and I believe it. He was shot at close range in the head by Daryl Roberts, 57, who had been arrested at least 60 times. Somehow still out on the streets.
Well, because people in that area voted for policies that resulted in somebody being arrested 60 times and then let out.
And this is just a perpetual problem with the left. And this really is what I've been driving at. And this is why, like, going back to the deep thing, this is the bit that's important about it, right? Because the entire worldview of the Democrats and the Republicans is bifurcated on one issue. It comes down to one fundamental assumption. Is man born good and made bad by society? Or is man born made bad and made good by society?
I'd go with the latter.
Well, exactly. You will go with the latter, right?
Yeah.
Because it's obviously true.
Yes.
Right? People who have had no restrictions and no particular reason to care about one another will do bad things because they have no conscience about it, right?
But we're not angels dragged to earth. We're animals aspiring to the heavens. I mean, it's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the total opposite way that they view these things. And so... And this thesis underpins all of their activism towards minority groups. Oh, look at the poor criminal. Oh, well, you know, what happened to him? How did we make him bad? Because it just assume, oh, he would have been a good person, were it just not for the systemic oppression of racism or
so
poverty.
Do we think that they actually believe this?
Yes,
stuff?
100%, which is why they're getting murdered in the street.
I think I can help with that explanation, because it's not exactly in that wording, of course.
No, of course.
People don't think in...
Of course it's not in that wording.
Yeah, the way philosophers actually think, because philosophers are all insane in the way they write compared to the average person.
But that is the underlying...
Yeah, to explain that in like how a human being would talk about it is, I think it's like Mr. Zed on YouTube, I forget, he did it really well, where he explained that you have people who live in the countryside and people who live in the cities, and that's the real divide in the West for all the Anglo countries. And the people in the countryside's response to criminals is, we need to kill them because otherwise they will kill us.
Yeah.
And in the cities, it's a question of, no, but we can reform him.
Yeah.
Like, why should someone be put to death when we can change them and therefore no one has to die and there can be a benefit to society? It's like, but that's insane.
But what you're doing there as well is you're abnegating their moral responsibility for their own actions.
He must be good on the inside.
Exactly. And even if he did something wrong, it's someone else's fault that he chose to do something wrong. He doesn't bear the burden of guilt for that thing that he did. That's the problem.
But they're not logically consistent, because if somebody who looks like us were to say something they disagree with, they won't say, oh, you're good, but society led you astray. They say that you are fundamentally and morally corrupt.
It is a form of paternalistic racism. Yes.
Yes.
The Longhouse impact there in the chat. Someone was just like, I can fix him. So
it kind of.
The Longhouse opinion on criminals versus the...
It is a very feminine way of approaching the subject. It's like, oh, but we don't want them to suffer. It's like, no, actually, I think that when someone does something utterly terrible, like, say, shoot a father of three in the head in the middle of the street in the middle of the day, actually, I think suffering is a genuinely desirable outcome for that person. I think there's a cosmic balance that's unbalanced at the moment. And it needs
is
to be.
Incredibly infantilizing. A mix of infantilization and racism at the same time, because the reason they would come after us for the things they say is because they assume that we're fully adult and therefore we know our own minds and therefore we're irredeemable.
Yeah.
Whereas even if you're a 60-year-old man from this demographic, you're still a child and they can just modify you.
Yeah, literally Daryl Roberts. I mean, can you imagine on his 40th time of being let off of whatever crimes he's committed?
Yeah.
It's being like, well, I guess they're just never going to punish me. Like, I occupy...
If he even thought on those terms,
assuming he has a single thought in his head, he must be like, I occupy some position of privilege.
Yeah.
Like, I'm beyond the law. And the thing is, it's entirely rational for him to think this way. Totally rational.
Yeah. You know how you think that the government has... You've seen movies and they've got, like, secret agencies and blah, 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 or whatever ability to stop you. And then when you bump up against something in reality and you notice there's no actual barrier there.
Yeah.
And that'll happen in various different ways in your life. He had that with the,
60 times that he gets arrested. Yeah.
And just notice there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And at which point, I mean, everyone's had that happen. You start bending the rules or just ignoring them.
But also, it's
forever.
It's not even that this is concealed either, right? There's a loud activist movement that was raising funds to get people bailed in order that they didn't suffer any penalties and things like that. And like all of the Black Lives Matter protesters are just, you know, essentially forgiven or let off, even if they were arrested in the first place. And you've got to be like, okay, the civilization is encouraging us to continue down this road. Like there are no, like you said, there are no hard barriers to come up against. Like, okay, if every time you were arrested for a violent crime, you got 10 lashes, I bet you'd see a massive drop off of violent crime.
Well, Singapore, they give you lashes. There's no crime.
There we go. Right. Because these people obviously don't care about the law conceptually as an abstract concept in the same way that you and I do. So, okay, well, then we need a real way of making sure they're not committing these crimes. But of course, what I'm suggesting is literally the worst thing I could suggest to one of these poor victims, like one of these leftist advocates. They'd be like, you are cruel. You are evil. How could you want these people to suffer? So, because in suffering is the lesson that they will learn that you can't impart to them any other way. That's the only way they're going
to
do this.
Well, I mean, what we're trying to do is they're trying to decrease suffering in the moment. We're trying to decrease suffering over the long term, including for this community.
It's more than that, actually. We're trying to decrease suffering for innocent people.
Yeah.
Right? They're not. They're trying to decrease suffering entirely. And so if they let 10 criminals out
only
of jail
at the moment,
and only three of them go on to murder someone new,
yeah,
well, then as far as they're concerned, there's 7 innocent people up because nobody can really be guilty. Like this, the entire worldview of the left is encapsulated in Rousseau,
it's a really dark thought. But I've got to wonder, that guy who shot 7 times, I can imagine how that went. I mean, it probably wouldn't have been a rapid fire. It would have been, you know, a shot, he fell over a sofa, he started crawling away, another shot through a door. You know, the whole thing could have taken, could have taken 15 minutes to play out. I've got to wonder, in his head, did he think to himself, my entire worldview is bollocks and it brought me to this?
Well, that's the question that Wilfred Riley here is asking. And I thought it might be worth having a quick discussion on it, because he says, now that well-off white leftists are starting to die, the anti-police movement, which doubled the black murder rate, is probably over. So, well, is it, though? Right? Because that's the question, isn't it? Do these people have this kind of road to Damascus moment where they're like, oh, wait, everything about this was wrong, and actually the people who commit crime should be punished? Do they think that, or are they thinking,
Didn't Anna Kasparian start down?
This is precisely the road Anna Kasparian went down. Didn't she get sexually assaulted outside of a house by a homeless person? And then there was something else as well. And then they were like, right, you're not...
But it was all near her house.
Yeah.
It has to be that close for these people to come back to reality.
Yeah.
And a little bit wider on this, the city versus rural aspect really sticks out to me, and something you get annoyed with, is when you see people talking about reintroducing violence, deadly animals to the UK when we don't have them, and you get the same dichotomy there, where you talk to rural people who go hunting or whatever, it's like, yes, we kill them because otherwise they'll kill us.
Who go for walks in the countryside. They don't want wolves out there.
And then you get the city people who argue for, oh no, but we can...
rewild the countryside so biodiversity is improved. So how about you?
It's just an abstract concept.
Yeah, exactly. And so the question is, will they actually double down on what they've created and say, no, we are the ones at fault for not having, I don't know, submitted enough or reformed them enough or something? Or are they going to suddenly be like, okay, maybe the Republicans have a point on law and order? What do you think?
When it's at their door. Live, then yeah, they might learn a lesson. But until then, I really think living in a city really warps your mind in a way that's unusual. Mm. And the evidence of that is in the voting patterns.
There's got to be a spectrum. I remember reading about a Swedish family who were delighted when their daughter started dating a refugee, a fresh refugee, and he ended up beating their daughter to death with a fire extinguisher. And the parents of the girl went to his trial to plea for leniency to this boy.
I've seen similar.
So there are some people who it's neurological hardwiring at this point, the leftism.
Well, a lot of people reply to this saying, well, look, we're not dealing with a rational philosophy. What we're dealing with is a faith. And so I think a lot of people on the right are like, look, we think these people are going to double down and essentially view themselves as martyrs in the same way the early Christians would have done. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
I got to wonder if the child angle makes an aspect, because you notice with voting patterns, young white women vote a
Democrat. While
the moment they have kids, their voting intention skews significantly to the right. because for the first time they're thinking about somebody other than themselves.
Quite possibly.
And I got to wonder, does that happen with, well, when it's you feeling slightly uncomfortable walking home because you see some, you know, some joggers or whatever it is, and then you start to think, okay, no, maybe I'm at fault. But when you're scared for your kids' safety, and kids in your neighborhood start having seriously unpleasant things happen to them, will that shift them? I'd like to think so, but
it would be nice if it did. But I honestly, I think a lot of it is genuinely down to a sort of, it would be a titanic emotional shift for these people. Yeah. That's the thing. Because as far as they're concerned, they're essentially saviors, you know, and okay, something terrible might happen to me, but I'm doing my part for social justice. I'm making a better world, things like this, right?
To be fair, we have some good evidence that for a white pill there, which is the busing of migrants from Texas cities.
Yeah, that's true. Martha's
had
Vineyard.
Its impact. I mean, sincerely, that
but
is,
that didn't change their opinions, though, right? I bet they all still vote for exactly the same policies.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I mean, how many years do you have to run that experiment? Maybe it never happens and the change doesn't happen, but if America wants to fix its problems, it's got to keep moving those problems into the cities and let them live it.
Yes. I mean, I guess we'll see how New York votes next time it votes, since they were like, this is going to cost us $1 billion a year. And it's like, well, that's cute, isn't it? It's costing us £3 billion. So, but anyway, the point being, I personally think that they're going to double down on this, which is awful. They're just going to essentially treat these people as disposable. Just another quick thing. I see a lot of people on the right kind of laughing, haha, a journalist has been murdered by a black guy because, you know, who's anti-gun. It's like, look, I mean, yeah, okay. But it's gross to laugh at the murder of anyone. And it's like, I don't see these people as being agents really now, you know, the sort of leftist cultist types. You know, I see, and I went to a conference in Miami and Curtis Yarvin gave a great talk, actually. And one of the key things I took away from it is, oh, look, the right doesn't really have a way of governing the libs. If you want to own the libs, you've actually got to like have a philosophy about how life can be, and you've got to actually want to help them. And this is, I think, revealed by this particular kind of thing. We've got segments on the right who are genuinely actually like, look, we need to save these people from themselves. And then other sections on the right who are like, ha ha ha, you get what you deserve. And I actually really don't want to be in the get what you deserve part, because actually it's kind of cold, right? Really,
I got to say, part of me went to that reaction when I've heard this
and
news.
It's hard not to.
Yeah,
right? It's genuinely hard not to, because it's like, well, you voted for this over and over and over. You stigmatized all of us for being like, look, man, something terrible could happen to you. Yeah. But when you remember this person is essentially a cultist who's following a messianic creed,
and I've given your question some more thought. I think what's going to happen is there is a spectrum of people, like you say, for whom this is a faith. And I think what's probably going to happen is the people on the right side of this spectrum are going to start to realize, and they're going to move away. They're going to go from Portland to Florida or whatever it is. They're going to peel out. And the group that are left are going to be more concentrated. So they will double down, because the amount of reality it takes to affect the people on the far end of this spectrum is basically a level of reality that ends up with them getting shot 7 times. Mm. So they never reach it. So yeah, by definition, the decision makers in these cities will concentrate down to the most fanatical of this faith.
Entirely possible. But anyway, so that's just the sad events of the Dilbert curse. Don't mock what Scott Adams's opinions, because it doesn't turn out well for a lot of people.
Turns out that my second favorite Democrat might not be a Democrat for that much longer. So this is RFK, who I've done a couple of segments on at this point. He's come out with an announcement, and see, put your best Sherlock Holmes hat on if you can figure out what he's about to announce. Let's play this.
I'm not going to tell you right now exactly what that announcement will be. I can say, though, that if you've been waiting to come to one of my public events, this will be the one to come to. I'll be speaking about a sea change in American politics and what your part and my part is in that change. A lot of Americans who had previously given up any hope that real change would ever come through the American electoral process have begun to find new hope in my candidacy. And I understand the deeply felt concern that people have about the way corruption has overtaken our government. It's in the executive branch. It's in Congress, it's in the leadership of both political parties. And so some people feel a kind of cynicism alongside the hope, or they lose hope entirely. because they've been disappointed so many times. I want to tell you now what I've come to understand after 6 months of campaigning. There is a path to victory. The hope we are feeling isn't some kind of trick of the mind. We all recognize that there's a genuine possibility of national transformation, and its source is the goodness of the American people. Our government may be crooked, but our people are kind, brave, and caring. That goodness is stronger than the divisions that are keeping us all apart. I see it every day on the campaign trail, and the more I see it, the more I trust it. And the more I trust it, the more the path to victory becomes visible. So how are we going to win against the established Washington interests? It's not through playing the game by the corrupt rules that the corrupt powers and the vested interests have rigged to keep us all in their thrall. Instead, we're going to have to rewrite the assumptions and change the habits of American politics.
I mean, good luck to him.
Yeah.
I agree. But like,
so
what did they do to us? Is his grandfather or uncle?
Well, no, his uncle was, of course, JFK.
Yeah.
Who was shot by the CIA.
Yeah.
And his father then ran shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
His father immediately accused the CIA of killing his brother.
Yeah, didn't he die in a car crash or something mysterious?
No, his father won the nominee, the Democratic nominee, well, a stage towards becoming the Democrat nominee. And the official story that he was shot 13 times by a Palestinian.
Oh, yeah.
With a gun that held 7 shots.
Right. Well, there we go.
Yeah. So basically CIA again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like RFK is going to go independent or possibly third party. That's what I took from that. I don't think you need to be Sherlock Holmes to figure out that he's basically saying, you know, you can't win through the rigged system, the uniparty system. He's not going to be allowed to win through that.
Yeah.
So he's going to go third party or he's going to go libertarian candidate. Now,
he's not a libertarian though.
Yeah, so I did want to discuss that, why that is a strong possibility.
Right.
To be fair, he's a hell of a lot more libertarian than, by some considerable margin, of the average point of Washington.
Well, sure, he doesn't want you to be forced into a medical procedure against your will.
Yes, there was that.
That wasn't really a libertarian position, that was a normal Western Democratic position.
Yeah, but I mean, either way he goes, his surname is Kennedy.
Yeah.
And if he's on the ticket, and it's, you know, let's say it's Biden, Trump, Kennedy, you know, what does that do? Does
it? He's at least going to guarantee Trump wins it.
Well, the absence of fortification will guarantee Trump winning, but yeah, it might make the fortification so unfeasible. Yeah,
is that a reason for a CIA trifecta?
Well, this is the question.
The thing is, if they do it again.
Do we think they won't? Do we think they're above that now? I mean,
oh, no, they are not above it. No, they are like, not above
it. They really seem to have it out for the Kennedys generally, don't they?
Yeah. So. To be fair, maybe if they thought they could get away with it in this day and age, they would have already done it to Trump. I don't know. But I think he is a much bigger threat than Trump to the system, and I'll come on to explain why. Oh, and I'll just cover that point about the independent versus the libertarian thing.
Yeah.
So arguments for going libertarian, which I don't think he's going to do. So I would place a large wager on me being right that on Monday he's going to come out and announce that he's running third party or libertarian.
Yeah.
The argument for independent is he has raised a lot of money. He's got incredibly strong name recognition and he's got a really strong activist base.
How much money has he raised?
I can't remember now, but it's a lot.
Tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, something like that. I'd have to check to see what it came out. But he's raised a lot of money. And with a name like Kennedy, he's going to be able to raise a lot more. And he's got a really strong activist base. He excites the activists so he can get people down out.
Yeah, he actually has the sort of Kennedy sincerity as well,
yes,
which is very powerful. You can see Americans like being enchanted by it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good. You know?
Oh, he's a good politician. I'll give him that. But I'll tell you what, Libertarian Party gives you national ballot status.
Yeah.
So if you go independent, it is very difficult to get to even get on the ballot in all 50 states.
Yeah, the Libertarian Party at least has an infrastructure.
Yes. Well, my understanding is that their national infrastructure is actually quite weak.
Well, it doubtless is, but at least they've got it. You know?
But they've got national ballot status, and that is a huge thing to sort of to get on there. So, you know, then I thought it's, you know, worth having a chat about Kennedy the man himself. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there are some strong inevitables. I've done a couple of segments on the guy so far, and the people in the comments are always quick to point out one or two things that are genuinely unattractive to, you know, folks like us. Environmental. He's a bit woo on the environmental stuff. Mm-hmm. To be fair, most of his environmental stuff is actually, because he was an environmental lawyer.
Right.
So actually most of the time he goes after like polluting factories, you know, mercury factories.
The actual stuff everyone likes.
Yeah. So I nobody has a problem with that stuff.
But is he going to ban internal flights in the United States?
Is he going to build a railway to Hawaii?
Yeah. So there are some clips of him when he, like from like 10 years ago when he was saying some silly stuff around, you know, what he would do to people who deny climate change and stuff like that.
Kind of worse than YouTube.
Yeah, I get the impression that he's calmed down on a lot of that stuff.
Oh, good.
But there are those sort of clips out there of him being a little bit over the top when it comes to the environmental stuff. So that is a negative. So we got to note that. Abortion, he is a Democrat.
Yeah.
So he's got the Democrat line on abortion. Now, to be fair, I reckon he probably leave it alone from where it currently is, which is the states decide. And actually, I'm kind of more or less happy with that because it kind of should be the states deciding.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm not going to make a joke about Democrats and states' rights. but we've been here before, that's all I'm saying. Yeah. We've seen this argument play out in America.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I'm not sure it holds up, to be honest.
Yeah. So he's a Democrat of all the pro-abortion.
It's time for the Republicans to take them. Just all I'm saying
if you
is,
say it, Carl, say it.
Republicans have a history of imposing the right thing on Democrat states, right? They have a genuine tradition of this in America.
I believe in property rights. So,
well, yes. Listen, you Democrat.
I
believe in the moral absolute that no man should be a slave.
Look, certain populations belong to the Democratic Party. That's their property.
Just saying, Republicans.
That's actually their position, though.
I know, but Republicans, you've won this war before, so just say.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, carry on.
But I mean, it's basically out of the federal government's hands at this point. So again, I'm somewhat relaxed on that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Also, he's got a very mid understanding of economics. Like he just doesn't get the threat that the deficits are.
Of course, he's got a Democrat understanding of economics.
Yeah, well, because by definition, you wouldn't be a Democrat if you.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Democrat.
Understood economics.
Like he's gonna have like, I bet his stuff is all basically Bill Clinton, right?
Yeah, I mean When people ask him about the deficits, he basically says, well, I'm going to shut down the military industrial complex and that will save us a trillion.
Oh, yeah.
Which isn't wrong. And it would
but he's
help.
Not going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, a trillion at this point is basically interest payments.
Sure. But he's also not going to shut down the military industrial complex.
He would definitely go after aspects of it because that's his big thing.
No, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to.
Yeah, he can go after
whatever. We're assuming he doesn't die.
Yeah, exactly. yes. But this is.
This is why the other Kennedys died.
I'm not saying you're not wrong, but
You know, don't get me wrong. Godspeed, but like, it's not happening.
To be fair, his life insurance quotes must be eye-watering.
Yeah, right.
You should do that for a laugh. Just tweet whatever they quote him.
Should we?
Oh, sorry. Are you going to say we should take out a bet on him? And then the bookies.
No.
I'm just thinking after the show, going on to an American, you know, let's compare website and basically put in his details and see what the quote comes back as.
Surname Kennedy.
Any risk factors? Yeah. Yes.
7 million a year.
The CIA keep taking out male members of my family.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So positives. Positives of RFK. He wants to go after regulatory capture.
Okay.
That is a strong plus for me. So that's basically, well, the farmer. Farmer stuff about how they control the regulatory side as well as, but he wants to do that across the board on the regulatory stuff. So that is a really strong positive as far as I'm concerned. He's very anti big pharma.
Okay,
I mean he's basically in a war with them for the last 2 years of him going on about the thing that happened. But
event.
You know what I mean. He's going after that. He's anti-war, which is incredibly rare for a Democrat. I mean, normally Democrats are just like, you know, if as soon as they find out there's a brown country on the map, they want to bomb it.
Yep,
and he is not in favor of that, so that's very good. He's anti-CIA.
I can imagine he would be.
Yeah, which basically feeds the top of the funnel for the war machine.
Yep.
So, like, you know, it's a bit like with us. The only reason we're still on YouTube is because it feeds the top of the funnel, and with these guys, the CIA feeds the top of the funnel for the war machine. So, he wants to. I don't think he wants to shut the entire thing down, just most of it. Which I think is a pretty strong plus.
He's not going to scatter it to the winds then.
So he
maybe he's just softened the rhetoric.
No, his argument is that there are certain divisions of it, some of the which does sensible bits, and there's other bits which he wants to close down entirely.
He just walks into the building one day in Langley or wherever it is with a rifle and just like, this is yeah. for my uncle.
You've had this a long time, and my dad. You've had this a long time coming.
Yes.
He's got an extended magazine. It's like, only 7 bullets, I swear. Yes.
There's only one gunman this time.
Or the 13 top positions will disappear after Robert Kennedy walks in with a 7 magazine.
Just invite the director to a meeting in Texas, Dallas. Dallas.
Yeah.
And it's all right, I'll send a car for you.
It's just a small motorcade. Don't worry about it.
Oh, God. I mean, he doesn't even shoot him, just does that. Anyway, it just stands at the book depository waving. just for the stunt.
He's also anti-military industrial complex, as we talked about, and he's anti-Fed. Now, that list, for me, that's a bloody strong list.
That is, but then you're going to get people on the Republican side saying, okay, what about gun control? And he's going to have the Democrat view on gun control.
Yeah, but...
What about urban crime?
Yeah, but what...
Yeah. What do I care about urban crime?
So this is the thing, right?
Got to have a way of ruling the libs.
He's not the perfect candidate. He's not the candidate that we would design if we had... what's the 80s film where they got to design the perfect girlfriend? If we got to design the perfect president, we would not design him.
Yeah.
But what we've actually got is a list of trade-off on various candidates. Mm-hmm. And I really bloody like this list. So let me just repeat. Regulatory capture, big pharma, anti-war, anti-CIA, military-industrial complex, and anti-Fed.
That's all good stuff.
That is basically the top of my list.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I'd like to get to inner city crime at some point, but it is Democrats voting for it and living there, and they could just move at any time. So it's not the top of the priority list for me and some of that other stuff. So
stopping the whole country from collapsing is a bit higher than fixing the internals.
Well, yeah, but it's not the whole country. Is it?
I don't even know if this prevents.
No, I mean your
collapsing.
Stuff about the wars, the endless money, the stuff that actually will make the dollar worth zero.
Yeah.
I can see your argument.
Yeah, I think those are incredibly strong.
Because if the dollar goes to zero, then I mean everything's gone.
Yes.
Thing is, isn't the counter argument to this being like, well, if we don't maintain a strong military, we can't maintain the dollar as the world reserve currency, and therefore the dollar loses value because other people are just like, we don't care, and there would be nothing we could do about it, and therefore we'd ruin ourselves by going down the
road. What is a strong military? Is a strong military the ability to defend yourself or the ability to provoke a war and then prolong it as long as possible?
It depends if you're the world hegemon or not.
Yeah,
you just need to win your wars.
Hmm?
You just need to win your wars, not make them last forever on purpose.
Well, that's not necessarily
true. And for a start, only pick wars that you actually need to fight.
Well, so that's not necessarily true, because, I mean, like, America loses lots of wars and is still in the dominant place. Because you just need to be able to win the wars against the other major powers, right? Other wars are not really that important. And it doesn't really matter to you if you're bogged down because you can just print infinite money. Like, they don't care.
I know they don't. I'm saying that that's kind of one of the things that will end up destroying the entire system.
Sure, I'm not saying I'm in favor of it. But, like, I don't know if that's going to actually destroy the system. That's the thing. Because they've been doing
printing infinite money.
Yeah, but they've been doing this for decades.
Okay.
Literally decades. So, like, I don't know. I think as long as they've got the overwhelming military force, then it's kind of inevitable that everyone kind of has to admit, okay, well, they're going to be calling the shots, right? And it's when that's dismantled and they can be physically challenged on the battlefield, then things change. And
like the entire military might of the United States depends on their economy.
Yeah.
And if the dollar becomes the Zimbabwe dollar, like, they actually don't have any advantage. That's why they're so cool, because you run any simulation of a Chinese Navy versus US Navy, and the US just trounces them.
Of course.
Because of the technology, which is because of the money.
Yeah.
So to Callum's point there, you're a civilization player. Military power always follows an economic power.
Sure. But what I'm saying is the United States is in a position where they have the economic domination of the entire world because everyone is forced to buy dollars. They're forced to buy dollars because the US has the military. And as soon as you dismantle the military, they won't be forced by dollars. Okay, but that will unravel the whole
thing.
Which is
stronger? A strong military that you don't actually have to use, or a military where you are incentivized because of the incentive flow beneath the military-industrial complex to constantly be involved in a war and never actually win it, but always prolong it as long as possible? So the Julian Assange line is that the purpose of the US war machine is not to win wars, it's to prolong them.
Yes. I'm not in favor of this, but the argument will be made. In fact, I honestly...
So he's not saying he's going to dissolve the military.
I know. But the vested interests that underpin it will diminish the military somewhat. That removing them is going to diminish the machine itself.
I actually think if you undermine the military-industrial complex, you'll make the military far, far stronger.
I don't know. I mean, maybe
the military-industrial complex is something different. It's the lobbyists. I know. Backpedalers behind it.
I know. But it's hard to describe what I'm trying to say. But I think there is a kind of effect, a kind of rolling effect that comes from the thing being in existence that couldn't have happened in other eras because the United States wasn't able to gain this kind of military dominance. But now they have it. Essentially, I can't see how it could really be to anyone's benefit to abandon it. Now, you'll say, well, we're not going to get rid of the military, but the reason the military is consistently such a big priority is because of the lobbying.
I really do separate the military-industrial complex from the military. I think the military-industrial complex is a cancer within it.
Sure, and I'm not saying it's not either, but it definitely has some effect, and that effect is making sure the military is unbelievably well-funded and has things to do, right? Because another thing is nobody wants an idle military. You know, like, it's not good for anyone, really, to have a large, just standing army.
Well, America survives war to war at this point.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But it is better to have a large military that you don't actually use that much than one that you use
you
all the time.
You wouldn't have a large military if you didn't
use the Taliban.
Right. You wouldn't have a large military if you didn't use it. The global hegemon is always engaged in wars, right? Every single one, the British Empire, the Roman Empire, the American Empire, right? That is just the nature of being the global hegemon. You are always engaged in a war somewhere with someone. It's just that most of the time, it's someone very far away and pretty inconsequential, right? So that's always going to be the case. And you can't be the global hegemon without being in a perpetual war. So that's something that just has to be accepted. Like I said, I'm not in favor of the military-industrial complex. It's just these are the arguments that are going to be made in reverse. Because if the US military suddenly goes through a prolonged period of peace, it will be very weak, right? It's the constant sharpening of itself in actions. Now, I mean...
Surely the US military is not stronger for having involved itself in Afghanistan and being shown to run away with its tails between its legs.
The thing is, it wasn't because the military was defeated, right? It's the will that underpins the military that's constantly being defeated.
Yeah, and I would wrap that up in that same whole Washington swamp military-industrial complex.
It's not just that. It's the American doctrine of human rights is the reason the American military loses wars, right? Because, I mean, the American military doesn't lack for manpower, money, resources, guns, methods of killing. And if this
was... killed literally everyone in Afghanistan and then repopulated it.
And this is...
morals stopped them.
And this is what the Romans would have done. And this is what they did to Gaul. You know, they just killed everyone there and then just resettled with their own because they didn't have a doctrine of human rights. The Americans are totally restrained by this. And so... when another great power is like, right, we're going to deploy 200,000 men in 50 tanks or whatever, the Americans are going, oh, finally. Absolutely. This is what they had with the Vietnam War, is that the Viet Cong wouldn't commit to a battle. It's like, well, of course, why would they? You know, why would a bunch of bloody rice farmers with rifles commit to a set-piece battle with you? You know, that's obviously the only thing they...
Yeah, you don't want to fight on their terms.
Exactly.
Because they win.
Exactly. And so that power in the military... is sustained by the military-industrial complex because it's constantly got a reason to do what it does. And this cows every other great power. Like the Russians and the Chinese, they don't want to fight the Americans in the Pacific. They don't want to have I'm not saying that means the military-industrial complex good or anything like that. I'm just saying there will be consequences to getting rid of it that might not be desirable.
Yes.
So that's all. Because I don't like it either. It's obviously deep corruption. I totally support Assange. I've always supported Assange. You know, I really like RFK as a person as well. And I do agree that having this cancer, this corruption, is not a good thing. But there will be unintended consequences from removing it. Because it's been the thing that's kind of been the sort of the cork on world conflict between the great powers since World War II. Right? So removing it will have consequences. And
so I just see everything on that list, the Fed, military-industrial complex, the CIA, Big Pharma, I just see all of these as cancers.
Yeah, they are. But what you're describing is the structure of the American empire, the American world empire, right? That's what those things are.
Yeah.
And
but which at this point is rotten and corrupt.
And I agree. And all world empires become rotten and corrupt. But there's always a price to be paid for trying to clean up the corruption. Mm. And that will be a decline in American power. That will be a sort of decline in American prestige. That will be other powers thinking, right, finally, yep, they've lost the self-confidence.
But maybe I'll put this to you, it will be a more organic rollback of that level of influence. Because, I mean, their absolute zenith was probably, you know, the first Iraq or second Iraq war, something around that point in the early 90s. That was the US's absolute zenith. I mean, it has been declining.
Sure.
The retreat from Afghanistan, various other things, China was asserting more dominance in its region. You know, that. So I think by removing this cancer, yes, you will get some organic pullback in US hegemony, but it'd be better than the collapse that it's going to get if it lets all of these things, you know, Fed and all the rest of it, continue to do its work.
I agree. But so, but again, there's a series of unintended consequences that come from this. And the weakness of the US military is not in the manpower or the equipment. It's in the morale and the leadership, right? Like, yeah, there was no reason actually to just pull out of Afghanistan.
Actually, it's not just
militarily.
It's not just the Americans. I mean, take the Russians' approach to the Ukraine war.
Yeah.
If they were to approach it like the Romans, it would have been over a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Russians are constrained by this.
Yeah, less so, but
also the Russians have a kind of way of war that they're just continuing on, which is just wave after wave.
Yeah.
That's what the Romans would build.
Well, if you blow up the entire city, then you capture the city.
Well, kind of. I mean, that's like the thing is, the Romans had a different doctrine, which is just have the best army that can just destroy any other army and just march to their capital and sack it.
Mm.
You know, that was the Roman way of war, and the Russians don't fight like that.
Yeah,
because they can't rely on their own army. So,
good point.
But anyway,
coming back to the Libertarian Party angle,
right?
I was just going to say on that bit, I think that they want to jump behind this. I think they absolutely want to jump behind this. I mean, I know he's not classically a libertarian, but he's close enough. I mean, anybody with anti-Fed on their list.
Ron Paul could definitely have a beer with him, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly that. Now, and I think the leadership should fully back him, because If they take him on board because of what he brings and the prestige, because if he did run Libertarian Party for the full ballot status, he would lift the Libertarian Party up considerably in terms of funding and organizational structure and success and all that kind of stuff. So it would be good for them. So they might be tempted to take him on and then try and get into a power struggle with him constantly. They shouldn't do that.
Would that not take away votes from the Republicans, though?
Well, this is the question. So RFK, if he enters the race, is going to get a decent number of votes. Does he take away more votes from Biden, or does he take away more votes from Trump?
I think it depends on the ticket.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's independent, then I think it'll be from Biden. If he's libertarian, I think it'll be from Trump.
Interesting. I think he takes away votes from both of them, but more.
I mean, there will, there will be, you know, a slice on either side, obviously. Yeah. But I think.
You think the packaging really matters on that one?
We've seen it. Totally. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's just people for some reason vote red or blue. They just do. You know, the name is like a nice thing to have, you know, and a cause is a good thing to have as well. But generally, people don't vote for outside third parties. And it's okay, well then. Yeah. I mean, but I would hope that you'd be independent and just siphon votes off of Biden, obviously, because I want Trump to win.
Yeah.
I mean, on a personal level, though, I do like RFK.
Yeah.
He seems like a sincere chap.
Yeah.
And he seems to be a genuine, like, good-hearted American, you know, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to see after the wild ideological ranting and raving of some senile old lunatic.
Yeah. I mean, libertarian might not be such a dirty word for older Democrats, because the left, there is an older strain of left-wing libertarian.
Yeah,
you don't get them anymore, but it used to be a big thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's go sideways slightly, because if he was to cease to be a Democrat and go down a different route, then of course I would only have one favourite Democrat left. And at this point, I'm going to highlight the excellent work that our subscribers do. We get sent in videos from our gold tier subscribers. And this one is from gold tier subscriber Based Ape, who sent us this, and we play them on the website. So if you watch the podcast on the website, we have a section for the members afterwards. So let's see what Mr. Ape contributed.
Hey everybody, I'm here in the Capitol. See this guy right there?
Right. He's like a handsome lad.
He, when I was walking up, he said, "Hey," right in front of a Capitol Police officer. Hey,
friend of the show.
Yep.
Here's this, that big ass. Look at that big juicy booty. Look at that big juicy booty. Look at that big ass. Look at that big juicy booty. Look at that big juicy booty. Big juicy, big juicy, big juicy booty. Big juicy, big juicy, big juicy booty.
Well, she's got one.
She went to kill babies, but she's still beautiful.
Ha, 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 I get the money!
I went on Alex Stein show. My God, it was hilarious.
Oh, you did that one in the US?
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I went down to the Blaze Studios and it was hilarious. Just like, it's just basically a bunch of young men prancing around and it's really funny. I don't know how to describe
it. Oh, nothing like here then.
Yeah, no. A bunch of American young men prank.
Right, okay.
But it was genuinely funny and he's just a great spontaneous comedian.
Yes.
So that's like, I love his smile as well. It's so funny. Yes. It's just like, this butter wouldn't melt look on his face.
I am going somewhere with this.
Right.
Because you were in the US doing
what? Search history?
No, let's not go there.
Okay.
So Carl has been in the US and Saar has been gone and, yeah, while you were gone, I did give away a little bit of your money.
I understand.
Quite a bit. I basically gave anyone who wants to sign up 50% off. So, basically, what's going to happen over the next 48 hours is I'm going to get Chinese burns, and at some point, I'm going to give up the password to the laptop that does the codes. So you've got as long as my resolve can hold before that code goes away. But at some point in the next 24, 48 hours, Sargon code will be Sargon. What I did there, very good. So if you want to get 50% off any tier for next 3 months, use it very quickly because he is we are now Saar back.
The thing is, the Chinese burn's just going to be so much worse because he's a fat picture of me. It's so much.
Is that
worse.
A fat picture of you?
Oh yeah, that is definitely a fat picture of me. Anyway,
is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose maybe a bit. Definitely. Anyway, so. So anyway, talk about Trump. Trump's achievements, because of course we've got to compare RFK to somebody. We've got to compare him to Trump. I'm going to get a bit controversial here. I think that I'm not a fan of Trump's record of achievement. I think all of his achievements were negatives of absences. No, absences of negatives.
I mean, we can relitigate it, but like he was definitely too moderate.
Yes. So, I mean, what were Trump's achievements for me? And tell me if I'm missing any here, right? No border crisis. I mean, they're left trying to manufacture one, kids in cages, but there was no border crisis under Trump.
Building a wall.
Yeah, there was no economic crisis under Trump.
Yeah. Well, no, hang on, come on. Let's give him a bit more credit. Like, the economy seemed to have been booming during Trump, right?
Yes. I mean, I think economies do that when left alone.
Well, yeah, I agree. Yeah. But, like, it takes a bit of... In the current state of managerial excess that we're in...
Yes.
The only time they do them?
Yes, well, that, yes. Yes, fair. There was no catastrophic military defeats under Trump.
Yeah. So in fact, Trump's international policy was great, actually. Mm. Like, Trump actively fostered relationships and peace across various Middle Eastern countries with people like North Korea. Like, relations with Russia seemed...
That was next on my list. There was no loss of America's geopolitical status.
No, it was an improvement. It was an active improvement. I mean, like, the one strike into Syria... was actually a stroke of genius that I'm surprised he had the balls to do, to be honest. You know, that
very surgical, very contained.
Everything stopped, you know, and everyone realized, okay, he's prepared to do something. So actually, Trump's foreign policy was great.
Yeah. No loss of dollar status?
Nope.
No energy crisis?
Nope. In fact, no. And became
energy independent.
Yeah, you're totally underselling it. America was an energy exporter and they had all their reserves full.
Well, so, I mean, a lot of that was a trend that was already underway from the shale, which he didn't initiate, but he didn't do anything that screwed anything
but it,
up.
If there's anything that shows that the executive does matter, is that Joe Biden literally turned all of this on his head within the first year.
Yes. Oh yeah. So that's my primary argument, is that I don't think Washington can make anything better, but they can make things worse very quickly. And Biden is a case study in that.
I think they can make some things better, but like,
yeah,
you are right,
only by dismantling the swamp itself.
Well, yeah. I mean, who knows if, you know, I'd like Trump to govern like Vlad the Impaler if he gets in next time, to be honest. So, you know.
But there is also decisions there, yet again. I mean, leave it alone is usually the right thing. Take fracking. Okay, you've got fracking, new technology, massive amount of oil is now available in North America. We can make ourselves energy independent. There's two responses to that. The Trump one of leave it alone, let them drill.
Mm.
And then there is the one of, ooh, this could harm our green revolution.
Yes.
So we'll regulate it and say it causes earthquakes
yes.
so bad that we're just going to ban the technology. And now we are dependent on the Saudis.
Well, it's more than that. They stopped giving out licenses to drill for oil and things like that, right?
Sure. So, I'm saying that the thing that really made America energy independent is the massive amount of oil that was made available by the technology of fracking.
Totally.
So that's a huge change. Yeah. Whereas, yeah, of course, they meddle in much minor ways.
But also, I think that the spirit of the executive, I think, is an important thing to show the country which direction in which you're traveling, right? Because if Trump's like, America's open for business, we're going to start drilling, we're going to start fracking, we're going to make loads of money, then people are more willing to take risks and invest in that direction to make things better. So, yeah, I mean, technically, he's hands-off done nothing. But to bring people in that direction, whereas Biden is like, look, we're going to punish you. We're going to stop you from drilling. Like, you can see how everything would contract, right? Mm. You know, why would I bother investing in this climate and stuff like that? So I think to say he's done nothing is not fair. Because I don't think it's inevitable that these things would have happened without him being.
So my point is more this. So I think the way Trump approaches stuff is very much based around personalities.
Sure.
So I think what happens if Trump gets back in, a whole bunch of swamp creatures are introduced to their pension and their golf clubs a couple of years earlier than they would have been anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a few dozen people go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I think Trump just deals with a whole series of personalities. He doesn't address the underlying power structure.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. And for me, the underlying system is crucial. So anybody who's going to go after the Fed, the military industrial complex, the regulatory capture, even if they got a list of negatives next to them,
sure,
that is so strong for me that I would genuinely, and I know I'm going to lose fans over this, but I would genuinely struggle to pick between the two.
I mean, honestly,
it was RFK and Trump on the ticket.
RFK is vice president, man.
What about RFK with Vivek as his VP?
No,
because Vivek's mini Trump.
It'd be slimy and he's been. He looks like he's grifting.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's not that I dislike him.
Let me phrase it like this.
Vivek Ramaswamy. Like, you know, 3 years ago, he was just like, you know, average Democrat. But now it's like, oh, I'm ultra MAGA. It's like, sure you are.
Okay, let me put it like this then. There's an election with Biden, Trump, and RFK. Biden wins. We all know the world is getting a worse place. Yeah. If either RFK or Trump win, we know it's getting better. It's just how it gets better.
Or someone's getting popped.
Well, yeah.
But honestly, like, I think there could be a lot said. If Trump was a younger and more nimble navigator, then the narrative of a kind of Joe Biden promised to bring America together, but he did nothing but persecute the Republicans. Whereas I'm going to take RFK as my running mate, and we together are actually going to fix this country. That actually, I think, would be a really strong narrative. Anyway,
maybe that's the announcement on Monday.
Yes, I doubt it. But
right, let's go to comments. We've got some video ones, I think.
I'm sorry. Did you think that the Black Power Doritos were the only thing out there? Look at this. Guess where this is? Target, of course. So they've got a literal Black Power section at Target now. So that's great. It's just great. More junk food, too, by the way. Black Flour.
Black Flour.
That's right. I cannot say that.
Interesting. Oh, that she also lives next to a Nazi theme park.
What?
Yeah.
A Nazi theme park?
She went.
An amusement park in Germany has some explaining to do over this new ride.
What?
He hit the Red Baron.
Seriously?
How much a ticket?
You've already booked your tickets, haven't you?
Yeah, well, wouldn't you?
So for those listening, the Germans have given us a swastika theme park ride with Luftwaffe bombers attached to each arm.
Yeah.
Okay.
As you do.
Was ist dein Problem? The next one.
Happy birthday, Dan. My birthday's on the Tuesday, and I'm on Wednesday going to fire some assault rifles. And this is in the UK, 20 minutes from where I live. You coming?
That does sound awesome.
I didn't hear all that, to be honest.
Well, he's got a shooting range in the UK he's going to for his birthday.
Ooh.
Go for it.
There's a shooting range in the UK?
Yeah.
I got myself unplugged during that one. Yeah. I'll have to listen to that one again. But
just to go back to the theme park, though. What if you did just put up a load of...
Average Zoomer moment.
It'll be like this for the rest of the day.
What if you did just put up a load of Ukrainian flags? I hate to always keep bringing it up, but it has become so weird that it's become part of...
Just put up some Ukrainian and Canadian flags.
Yeah.
You know, like start cheering for you, yeah.
If I wanted to start getting state money, I think the right way to go is to get an armband.
What, a yellow and blue one?
One with a circle and a windmill as well.
I'm not sure that's... I mean, maybe.
That's all I'm saying.
You tested it out for us, Callum.
All right. But I am kind of expecting, like, Nick Fuentes or whatever will do something, and then suddenly he'll be...
What, in Justin Trudeau's parliament? Being cheered. He didn't know, but
there's so many Nazis. Like, it's not even like five guys at this point. There's so many faces, like human beings that have been documented to be now either promoted or in groups or part of the government or giving speeches. Or it's like, okay, this is a gravy train.
We need a minister
Callum
for Nazis.
Become a Nazi just to make some money.
I'm just in it for the money.
Right, Andrew says, welcome back, Carl. How was your time in the land of superior cuisine?
Ooh.
I don't know. I haven't been there.
Yes.
I went to America. Now, the American food, right, is good, but I put on like 2 kilograms of weight because it's just full of calories. It's like insane. Pounds. Yeah, I know, but that's a lot.
Well, I'm just translating for them.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, well, no, it's about 6.5 pounds.
I get the impression you're actually supposed to eat it, though. You're just supposed to take it in a doggy bag, like half of it or something.
No, I worked out, right? So what it is in England, I don't know about you guys, but my dad was always like, look, you've got to clear your plate before you leave the table.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right. Totally normal English way of looking at food, as in you, and it's impolite to leave food, right? Because it kind of implies that you didn't.
But now
like
imagine
it.
The plate is twice the size.
Now imagine the plate is 4,000 calories, right? So I go to America and I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to clear my plate because that's what I've always done because it's totally habitually ingrained in me, but it's literally 3 days worth of calories you've just consumed. I mean, unironically, me and John Doyle went to this Texan barbecue and it was delicious, really good, you know, just meat basically. Yeah. And I ate it, and 24 hours later, I hadn't had a single hunger pang. And I'm like, okay, that's really weird. Because normally after like 8 hours, I start getting hungry. So like 24 hours later, I wake up the next day, I'm not hungry. Okay, that's fine. Literally go through the entire day, just going out, walking around, doing stuff. I'm not hungry. And I'm something like, maybe I should eat something. Maybe I'm sick. You know, is there something wrong? Because it's just weird, right? I mean, you know, the food was nice tasting. It was just obviously killing me. So I'm glad to be back, to be honest. I'm looking forward to being hungry again. Robert R. Studio says, hello, first ever comment. Hello, Robert. Looking forward to figuring out how to video comment. Right, so if you're a gold tier subscriber, you can go to lotusease.com/FAQ and it tells you there. Thank you. Ron says, Dan, happy birthday Friday. It's my birthday today. Going bouldering later happy than birthday. A proper Italian pizza after that. What's the correct depth of pizza base?
Oh, well, I make my own.
Can I give
and a... I don't know. Like that much or something?
Thin, right?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem is that Italian pizza is inferior pizza. I said it. I'm not taking it back.
Right. Well,
American
pizza is Dan pizza, not Italian pizza.
Well, that's good. I'm sure yours. It's fantastic.
So what? Do you like the thick ones then?
No, I like American pizza because it's got proper cheese on it and
it's
not weird.
America has proper cheese.
Well, proper cheese. It's got cheddar on it sometimes.
Well, I use buffalo mozzarella.
Sometimes.
Roll the dice.
Yeah. Sometimes you get cheddar on them. Sometimes you get mozzarella. And
sometimes you get plastic.
All right.
Yeah. No. You never get American cheese on American pizzas. Thank God. Right. So.
Yeah.
Anyway. Justin says, "I think my fire alarm heard you just after you started the segment when the lamps started going off, even though there's no smoke or fire." Oh, really?
I'm glad to see we got a diverse audience.
Yeah.
Sorry, brother, but You can stand
strong,
the
man. I'm just saying. You don't take this oppression from the white man. Grant says, the sad thing is that someone plotted the rates of deaths in house fires and black people way higher. Well, I wonder why.
Okay, I've got a spicy comment. A friend of ours, AA, he did a tweet where he basically pointed out that he'd noticed the demographics of people parked, stopped on the side of the road with a breakdown, and he noticed it was very skewed in one particular direction. And one time, the chap was literally stood under a sign that you get on the side of the motor that says "check your fuel."
Yeah.
And he thought, oh, "Hang on a minute, are they just running out of fuel? Is that the next smoke alarm thing?"
I can't be. Okay, I say
it more can't be than this.
The more you learn about the world, the more uncomfortable it becomes.
Yeah. So maybe that's the next meme that's going to emerge, is people are going to be TikToking and they're going to be like, oh, my car's just broken
down. You
don't
wash your fuel.
Yeah, and then they show you
I don't bleach my chicken, that's true. God. I tell you, and the thing is, you would never have known any of this if it wasn't for TikTok videos of themselves doing it.
Because it
would just say it's a myth.
It would never even occur to you that could be a problem.
No.
But then when you hear it, you just be like, oh, shut up, Jeremy. Like,
yeah, what a stupid thing to say. I don't believe that.
Oh, but the Johnson story. Well, that's the Johnsons. Like,
no one bleaches their chicken and worships the ceiling bird. No one does that. That's ridiculous. Anyway, Charlie says, regarding the chirp, I saw a video by Snoop Dogg complaining about Trump. And of course, there's a chirp in the video. In fact,
that was added.
Well, do you want to go on Twitter and just look for chirp? Rap chirp, something like that. You'll find the thread where it's literally in these rap videos. You can hear it. It's crazy. Ignacio says, I genuinely don't understand how anyone could ignore the chirp. Well, that's the point of the chirp, isn't it? It's there to make you frustrated, so you change it. My smoke detector started chirping a weekday in the dead of night, and it made me bolt from my bed, go to the detector, and slam a new battery in because I was not able to sleep through it. Yeah, it's insufferable. Ethelstan says, I recently read the Screwtape letters, and it contained the letter published... It contained the later published Screwtape Toast. I do not think I've read a better prediction as to what society would become. Democracy has been used to sanction the most degrading of human thoughts and acts while eliminating every human excellence, morally, culturally, socially, and intellectually, so that we are all equally cut down to a level of subservience. I haven't read the Screwtape letters. Have you guys?
No, I hear they're really good. Were they C.S. Lewis?
I'm currently reading through Camp of the Saints.
Yeah.
Holy crap, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like... It would be more pleasant to, it's really well written. The prose is excellent, right? And it would be a lot more relaxing and easy to read if I couldn't name someone who was every stereotype of the characters as you're going along and things getting worse and worse and worse.
Right.
Like I'm very tempted to literally like do a paragraph and then put a picture next to it, and you won't know that it's not a real quote of that person. Because he gives the dialogue from the characters as to why they're doing all of these things that they're doing. And we see it all around
us. People you know personally or characters? Or
people in politics.
Yeah, okay, right.
And it's pretty bad, to be honest. It's crazy. Kevin says, having seen the video, the urban man appears to be trying to break into a car as the couple walk towards him. Yeah, that did seem the case. No doubt the victim said something to him along the lines of, don't do that. And the urban man was offended. He was not being allowed to choose his own reparations. Did you see there was a video like on some local news station of one of these activists being interviewed? And they were just saying, us stealing and looting from shops as reparations. They've come to this conclusion now.
Well, or they feel that's an excuse that will work. I mean, they're just picking it. Oh.
John's found some.
Right, okay.
Bird, it was all in my lane. On a tsunami, like wavy. I bought the lamp, Bruce Wayne. Sleep on the yacht for like 20 some days. On the GC, trying to.
2.43 million subscribers. How many views on this particular video? 988,000 views on this particular video.
Check out his social blade, see how much money he makes. Just to be questioned whether or not it's an urban poverty thing with those 2 million subs.
Well, I know it's not with those 2 million subs.
Gunner.
Still make it happen. He's deep in rapping. His life will get crazy. Fresh money, I'm going.
Net worth of 4 million there.
Jesus Christ.
4 mil.
I just
still can't afford a battery.
A man who thinks about the Roman Empire says it's really hard to feel sorry for these quote-unquote journalists that are being killed by the quote oppressed minorities. They help create the atmosphere of fear and oppression by constantly saying people don't need firearms or weapons to defend themselves. The police don't need funding since they oppress black people. People are arrested for violent crimes. The minorities need to be released without bail and then reduce and eliminate the penalty for theft. I know. Yeah.
I have got one idea. You said about governing the libs.
Yes.
Eliminating the libs is a way of governing, and it's not what you're thinking. So one of the things Mr. Zeb was talking about is the increasing urbanization of all of humanity is one of these things that's leading to all of humanity becoming more and more deluded to reality.
Yeah.
And so the solution of people being like, oh yeah, we should destroy the cities, obviously that won't work. But then I thought about that statement and I was like, hang on, but to resurrect a bad idea in the right way, destroying the cities in the way that we did during COVID is actually a brilliant idea. Like deurbanizing by using the technology we have of the internet to make sure people don't work in some place in the city.
Dr. Manhattan did nothing wrong kind of thing.
But instead work, you know, if people are going to want to work remotely in, I don't know, Siberia, what do I care if they can still do the task? Like if their job can still be done that way.
Yeah.
In which case, we should try and deurbanize as much as possible. And that being an option.
Yeah, that's fine if you're already good at your job and you know what you're doing. But if you're a young man and you need the guidance, I mean, that's what the whole workplace does. It is a mechanism for passing.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It would be a massive institutions are a thing to do. Yeah. But it's something that should not be ignored or stumped at and say, oh, well, it's hard. No, that is something, if you're the right, you should be really looking at trying to do. Because if you can destroy the increasing urbanization of society, structurally, that's a massive win for you over the long term.
Yeah. Yeah. Bradley says, there are a lot of people who think RFK will take more votes from Trump than the Dems. Giving them any other option could pull a lot of the independent votes away from Trump.
Yeah, is a genuinely live question. Yeah. Who does he pull more votes from? I think it's Biden, but I'm not sure.
It probably is Biden, but it probably will be a significant proportion of independents. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I'm Trump trained, baby. So, you know, I'll come back and destroy them all.
We'll probably have something to say on that urban thing. It might win you round. Think of all those civil servants in London, and now take them out of London, put them in the countryside, where naturally their brains aren't going to be warped in the same way it is living there.
It seems like a way of rewarding them for their failure.
Yeah, okay, but you said we can't just kill them. So
I didn't.
I'm saying, like, you know, if you can have the civil service instead of made up of urbanite leftist weirdos, but instead people spread all out over the countryside, you know, more likely over time they're going to become normal again.
Well, because at the moment they're in a bubble. So at the moment, every time they say, oh, I think we should increase immigration.
Yeah, everyone agrees and everyone lives in the bloody
center. Everybody nods knowingly. But if you do that in the middle of Lancashire, people are going to look at you and just say, what the hell are you talking about?
If you make them all Zoom call and they're living in areas where that is nonsense.
Yeah.
Like they'll de-radicalize themselves slowly over time. The background radiation will leak in.
Yeah. I mean, Severian Knox has got a point here. Carl, you are wrong on this one. People cannot be shielded from the consequences of their decisions. We're in the mess we're in because everyone expects that they will be safe from the bad aspects of their decisions. If you knew each action you would take would come back with good and the bad people would think more. This approach preserves freedom and leaves responsibility in the hand of each agent. Yeah, but it is also kind of cruel. Like, I think the argument for the right has never been stronger at this point. Actually, no. Criminals should be flogged. You should be taken away. You should have your vote taken away because you're a leftist.
Yeah. I'd say the argument from the right has always been strong and always been correct, but it is being revealed.
In previous eras, I can see why the left-wing argument seemed stronger, right? Because the world was safe and the right had predominated. It had won all through the 80s.
Budget
and created...
So you didn't have mass migration.
Yeah.
And no internet, so people can't find out and then mass migration.
But through the 80s, the right won the argument against the left because we defeated the Soviets. We created the 90s didn't just come about. The 90s came about as the product of people doing the right thing for the right reasons, right? Like we created a safe society that was really prosperous.
So this is Howard Strauss, the fourth turning generational theory. Basically, you have a crisis, and eventually the memory of that crisis fades to the point where you recreate the conditions for the next crisis.
And we're coming into that now. So at least we can...
Oh, we're in the crisis.
Yeah. And this was what my Skilding's talk was about. It's like, look, we're kind of inevitable at this point because look at how they're doing, you know? And so actually, I don't think we should be cruel and vengeful towards the left, even though they've done this themselves, and it's nice to know democracy works because they're getting what they voted for. We should be more forgiving, dare I say, as long as they change their mind on these things, so we can say, no, you're wrong. Look, that guy just got murdered.
Give them a route to redemption. I think we're out of time on that.
Yeah, we are.
You're indeed. So if you want more, website, go look at the things you mentioned. Otherwise, bye bye.
Cheerio, chaps.